The following radio interviews were conducted by Tim Behrens of KJSL Radio in St. Louis during the July 2005 SDA General Conference. In this segment, we'll be speaking with Walter Ray.
This is Mornings with Tim and Al.
Now that's entertainment.
On AM 630 KJSL.
Walter Ray, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Walter Ray is the author of The White Lie. This has been out for a number of years. In fact, the late Walter Martin, the founder of the Christian Research Institute, said it's a thorough and factual analysis. It will receive wide attention for both its careful research and stimulating conclusions.
Yes, he was a friend of mine.
Oh, was he?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you write The White Lie?
Well, because I felt that future generations should know some of the things I had discovered so that their behavior and their life could take a different turn.
Were you a Seventh-day Adventist?
I was not raised one, but I became one when I started school.
Now, what was the fascination for you? What was it that made you want to be an Adventist?
Oh, I went to a boarding school on a holiday at one time in Lodi, California, and I was impressed that you could work your way, and the young people there seemed to be happy and dressed well and enjoying. So I left home, and I went to the school so that I could work my way through, and that's how I became really acquainted with the Seventh-day Adventist. If the school had been Mormon or Catholic, I probably would have been indoctrinated that way.
Now, Ellen G. White is the prophetess, I guess they call her the prophet, of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And for those who are listening, and with 70,000 Seventh-day Adventists in town, they may be hearing, our listeners may be hearing some things that they have never heard before. So let's start at the very beginning. Who was Ellen G. White, and why was she important? Just a Reader's Digest condensed version for somebody just listening for the first time.
Like most religious organizations, Ellen White was the pioneer and the spiritual head, or the prophetess, whichever term you wish to use, of the church. And in the founding of the movement during the years of 1830 to 40, Ellen White and her husband played a very prominent part. And the church came to believe that Mrs. White and her instructions were all given, was given from visions or directly from God, and were incorporated in her writings. So that the vast portion of material at that time that was helped to form the church, its customs and mores and theology, were taken from the writings of Mrs. White, which they claim came from God.
Hmm. Now, I was talking to a Seventh-day Adventist woman last night. I was at the convention, and I brought your name up, and I didn't have to duck or anything of that nature. But I asked her, I said, have you heard that 80% of Mrs. White's writings were plagiarized? She said, yes, I've heard that. She said, but she took from the best of sources back then. This is just the way they did things back then. Is this a standard objection that our Seventh-day Adventist friends use?
I think that's one of the objections. It's very difficult for people to change their spiritual opinion the same as it is to change other opinions.
Right.
And especially when they believe that God is involved. And so through the years I have heard this, but I think what is more important is our view of God.
Mm-hmm.
Why did God have to direct Mrs. White's mind to others that had written before her? And were those others inspired as we claim that she was?
Mm-hmm.
And was it all infallible? And you have a difficult time if you try to pretend that this was all done by God's consent or with his help.
Now, did she attribute to these people, the people that she borrowed from, did she say that she had gotten this material from them, or did she make it look like she had come up with it herself?
To the contrary, she always denied that she was influenced or that she had used others. It was only as the research continued that we found that these denials were just not so. When the church appointed Fred Veltman to study one of her books, Desire of Ages, he stated in his conviction after 8 years that what puzzled him is why she, as a devout Christian, denied that she had used any other source.
Mm. When did you realize that she was plagiarizing?
When did I realize?
Yes, uh-huh.
I think my introduction to the book makes it clear that when I was in college, I was studying for a Ph.D. at SC, and I found some books by Edersheim, Geeky, Farrar, and others had talked to me through the years but had not impressed me until I saw and began to study definitively that most of what she came up with in all of her writings across the board certainly was influenced or paraphrased or borrowed or plagiarized, whatever word people would like to use, by what she wrote. Then, of course, the White Estate, I found out that those that kept her records had copies of books, even with her signature in them, that she had read at the time she was writing in that particular period.
Mm. Now, how much of the White writings are available to the general public today? Are there writings of hers that are kept hidden?
At the time, this was not known, and it was difficult to obtain. But I think in the last 20 years, since more and more information has become available, that people can write to the White Estate and can get a copy of the books that were in her library. I have such a copy of some 1,500 books in their titles and have been buying up these books as they were available to me in the last few years to keep in my own library. Others have done the same.
Mm. One of the things that amazed me at the America Center when I went down there yesterday afternoon were the number of black folks there, people from other nations, and I was remembering a quote, and I'm reading it here from Spiritual Gifts, Volume 3, page 75. This is written in 1864 by Mrs. White, or who knows, maybe by someone else as well. Quote, every species of animal which God had created were preserved in the ark. The confused species which God did not create, which were the result of amalgamation, were destroyed by the flood. Since the flood, there's been amalgamation of man and beast, as may be seen in the almost endless varieties of species of animals and in certain races of men. And they go on to point out, what does amalgamation mean? The dictionary defines amalgamation as the action or process of uniting. The only amalgamation of man and beast, which could be called sin and which would deface the image of God, would be bestiality, sexual relations between a human being and an animal. It sounds like she was bigoted, and yet wasn't she a mulatto?
There are, if you're not careful, they're going to turn you off. This is one of the very serious mistakes that were made. This is an area that we don't like to talk about, but the black race, even in America, have been separated, even in our church when I was in the South.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of the few that invited them in for the choir and had some as members, but there has been segregation in Adventism until very recent times, and these statements that you've read with others are some of the statements that have kept people from accepting in that particular race.
Mm. If you were going to talk to somebody about the writings of Mrs. White, what are some of the writings that you would point out?
What are some of the writings that what?
Yeah, that you would point out to them.
Oh, I
her bizarre beliefs.
Tim, I've said from the beginning that if we would get away from the theology and the mythology, the fact that she copied does not disturb me. If I accept the fact that she copied and that it was devotional. I have an expression I've used in the past years that I think if we would use religion subjectively, spiritually, rather than objectively, theologically, most of the problem throughout the earth has been theology rather than spiritual. And I could use Desire of Ages, Steps to Christ, Christ Object Lessons. These are devotional books and spiritual, and they speak to the heart and the basis of spirituality. But when we get into a book like Great Controversy, it is a theology, and after all, you know as I do that more people have been killed in the name of God through theology on the planet than any other idea.
Well, though I'm gonna, if we could go on this rabbit trail, but remember communism and humanism, there are a lot more people killed in the name of Islam as well. But have you had people come back and say, well, Ellen wrote these first, and then these other people copied Ellen G. White?
That's been debunked a long time ago because we have the dates on these.
Mm-hmm.
I have had every excuse that people can think of to try to maintain the status quo. But with your radio stations and television and the Internet, that is getting more difficult to maintain ideas like that. It just isn't so.
Mm. Now, what about the theologians and those who are up high in the Seventh-day Adventist Church? When they look at these, are you seeing people defecting, or are they saying, you know what, everybody's got warts, and this happens to be her thing, but we like her in spite of all of that?
Well, the fact is, here in the little town of Patterson, California, through the years I've had men of all walks of life in our denomination, professors from Andrews University, theologians who are well-known and have been well-known, and they've all said, Walter, keep on with the study, but don't mention my name.
Mm.
It becomes a job security thing, Tim, mm-hmm. as you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For those who are listening to us, and they may be going through a crisis of faith, you know, they may have the victory look, and when they talk to people and shake their hands at these meetings at the America Center, but when they get to their hotel room, they might be kind of having some of these nagging doubts. What is your advice to those?
Well, I get calls all the time on a weekly basis of what do we do now? My purpose, Tim, was to show people that we had been taught things were not so and that we should get back to Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Director. And my last chapter, Can This Marriage Be Saved, was a point that, look, let's make it spiritual. After all, a church is nothing but a personal, public, religious organization, and in many ways is no different than the Kiwanis Club or any other organization that would belong to. It's a part of your culture, your background, your heritage, and I have discovered that it's what you do with what you learn. I'd rather see a sermon, Tim, than hear one any day.
Well, we need to do both, actually. You know, as I pointed out the other day to an author, Jesus never got in trouble until he opened his mouth and said things like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if Jesus was just gentle Jesus, meek and mild, they would have never crucified him.
Yeah.
It was what he said that, in other words, as I think Josh McDowell points it out, you know, if you and I go to jail, it's because of what we do. Jesus was crucified for who he said he was.
That's correct.
That's what it's all about.
The church becomes political, and it's obvious that it does, to control people.
Mm-hmm.
The only one that should control me is my personal relationship with God.
Right, right. Well, we want to thank you so much, Walter Ray, R-E-A, The White Lie. Do you have a website, or is the book still in print, isn't it?
The book is still being sold, and anyone who's interested can write to Post Office Box 1595, Patterson, California, 95363. We have been on the internet, but stay off because it's too confining and there's just too many all over the world who are interested.
Mm-hmm.
And if our bookstore Lay Renewal would like to get a copy of it, they can get it as well.
Most of the bookstores, not only here in America but in Australia and around the world, have purchased the book, and they can do so.
Very good. Walter Ray, the author of The White Lie, deals with the plagiarism of Ellen G. White. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Tim.
Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye-bye.